produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord, beloveds. I am so blessed to wake up this morning in Pretoria. It's a little bit cold, it's a little bit rainy, but nonetheless, it's still a beautiful day. And I just want to declare to you out there, even to myself, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. He's given us this day, another day where we can make a difference, another day where we can be salty, another day where we can allow God to use us as light, as his vessels, vessels of honor, as his instruments, instruments of change and transformation wherever we go. So thank God for another opportunity. And I also want to thank God for another opportunity just to be able to share God's rich word on our weekly radio program. And today I want to talk to you about good intentions and God intentions. This is a word that the Lord put on my heart, oh, long time ago, I think about 15 or so years ago. And he began to draw the distinction to me between good intentions and God intentions, because many of us have good intentions. There are things that we think are good. And God spoke to me very clearly at the time to say that we are called, those of us who are sons of God, have God in us. Not just with us, it's not just Emmanuel, God with us, but God in us. We are the temples of his Holy Spirit. So Yeshua HaMashiach himself is in us. And because God is in us, we carry God. Our bodies are the temple of Holy Spirit. And because the Spirit of God is in us, we must be led also by the Spirit of God. And you know, one of my favorite all-time scriptures is Romans 8:14, which says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God. So part of the evidence that we have God, not just received him by way of our mouth, by way of confession, received him just in terms of head knowledge, but part of the fruit and evidence that we have him and we have the Spirit of God is in how we behave, our mannerisms. You know, Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit that manifests in us in terms of love, joy, peace, self-control, all of those things are actually evidence that we have the Spirit of God in us and we carry God in us. And another piece of evidence that shows that we have God in us is that we're led by his Spirit. And when we are led by his Spirit, it means that we do things that God tells us. We don't just do things that look good, they appear to be good, they sound good, but we behave in a way that is godly. We follow the will of God, not the will of man. So it's very important for us not only to have good intentions, but we must have godly intentions, which come from God. That means we hear God and we obey God. So good intentions are not enough. We actually have to evolve and move from a place of just having good intentions to a place where we now have God intentions. And the only way in which we can have God intentions is when we follow God, we are led by the Spirit of God, we follow his will, we pray to him, we ask him what direction we need to go in. When we follow his word, we follow his leading by his Spirit, that's when now we line ourselves up with his intentions, God intention, as opposed to having good intentions. Because there are, we must know that there are some good, and many good intentions are not necessarily God intentions. The fact that it sounds good, the fact that maybe it sounds appealing, does not mean it is God's intention for us to line up with that. And in our sharing today, I actually want us to go in and look at two case studies, because in the Bible, we have examples of people, men and women of God, who looked like they were doing the right thing. It looked like they had good intentions. You know, in fact, I know for a fact that their intentions were good. They were not trying to sabotage, or not intentionally anyway, they were not intentionally trying to sabotage the work of God or the will of God. But in actual fact, they were going to. Their actions were going against the will of God and the intention of God. Although that may not have been their intended purpose, although that may not have been what they intended, however, their behavior, their actions was actually going to go against the will of God, the purpose of God, and the plan of God. And that's why it's important for us to line up with God intentions as opposed to good intentions. Good intentions may seem good to the world. They may seem good to other people. People around us may think, wow, that's a good idea. They may seem even good to us. But ultimately, those good intentions may actually be, you know, sabotaging the purpose of God, sabotaging the will of God, sabotaging the plan of God. One other scripture which I also love is the scripture tells us that many are the plans of man. So man has many plans, you know, but then it says that God's purpose is the one that must prevail. So sometimes as men and women of God and children of God, we have so many plans. It sounds like it's good. Oh, I want to start this. I want to start this work. But we've not stopped to meditate upon God. We've not waited upon the Lord, according to Isaiah 40, 31, which instructs us to wait upon the Lord, you know, and we've just impulsively thought that this is a good idea. And, you know, many of us do things on impulse, and we must be very, very careful that we don't act on impulse. There are things that may sound good. And many ministries, I must tell you, actually, were started on impulse. It sounds like this is a good thing that to do. Let me start a ministry. But that ministry was not started in terms of God's instructions. It's not God who instructed us to start that ministry. It's not God who instructed us to have that event. It's not God who instructed us to start that work. But we just think it's a good idea. And there's some good ideas that go against the grain of God. There may be something that's in there that's actually not aligned to God's purpose and God's will for our lives. So this teaching is just going to be sharing on this. How do we distinguish? You know, it's important that we distinguish God intentions from good intentions, because many of us have good ideas. We have good intentions. But in actual fact, they are working against the plan of God, and not in line and not aligned with God's will. So we're going to look, like I said, we're going to look at two case studies and see two people who actually thought that they were in line, their good intentions were in line, and they in their minds, I'm sure they thought they were helping God, that, you know, they were doing part of their kingdom assignment, and yet they were not. And in fact, the implications of what they did could have been very harmful. And in one case, it was actually very, very harmful, very harmful. So looking at case study one, let's look at the case of Sarah. I know that many of us are familiar with Sarah, of course, whom we know was the wife of Abraham. And Sarah and Abraham, you know, you can read their story in Genesis. And I'm going to go straight to Genesis 17, which is where God was speaking now to Abraham. And God had specific plans for Abraham. He had specific plans for Sarah. There was an agenda that he had. And his plan concerning Abraham and Sarah was to make them mother and father of the nations, of the nations. And, you know, we read the whole account of Abraham and Sarah, and we know that, in fact, their names were not even originally Abraham and Sarah. We knew them first as Abram, A-B-R-A-M, and Sarai, Abram and Sarai. And God had to change their names now to line up with his original intention concerning them and his original blueprint and agenda and purpose for their life. So originally they were Abram, and Abraham, we're told that word just means ordinary father, and God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, now meaning father of many nations, and Sarai also meaning princess. And God changed her name also to line up with her destiny, with her purpose, her assignment. And now, you know, Sarah's name was changed from princess to being somebody now who will be fruitful and somebody who is a mother of many nations. So God lined them up with his original purpose for their lives. And in Genesis 17, reading from verse 15, this is what God said to Abraham. He said, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah." Her name will be Sarah. So God is now prophetically aligning her with her prophetic destiny. And in verse 16, he says, "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." And in verse 17, it says, "Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So the Bible tells us that Abraham fell down and he laughed because he was looking at his biological age. And we know the story very well. And Sarah was 90 as well. And Abraham was not the only one who laughed. In fact, it tells us that, you know, Sarah herself also laughed. And in fact, the name of the son that God gave, you know, praise the Lord, Isaac, we're told that the name Isaac even means laughter. And so the laughter was a laughter of disbelief because they were looking at their natural biological condition. And in looking at their natural biological condition, they felt that they were limited and they just could not see how God's promise could come to pass. And I want to speak to somebody out there, right there. Maybe God has given you a prophetic word and you just are not able to understand and to see how will this word come to pass. I want to encourage you through this story and through this case study and through this reading that don't look at your natural circumstances. In Genesis 15:5, God literally had to pull Abraham out of the tent. He said, "Come out of the tent." And he had to have him focus on the stars. And he said, "Look to the stars. See your destiny in the stars." He said, "Can you count these stars? Because, you know, this is what your generation is going to look like. This is what the number of your descendants will look like." He had to focus him visually and say, "Abraham, come out of your tent. Because if you don't come out of your tent, that tent mentality, that tent thinking, you can't see the stars." And so staying in a tent will limit your capacity to see God and to see how God sees you. So staying in a tent will just, you know, limit your vision, your capacity to see. And so God wants to pull us out of that tent. And we're still talking about distinguishing good intentions from God intentions. And we're talking about now the case study of Abraham and Sarah, in particular Sarah. And we know if we read the whole account, we're told that Sarah, you know, not only laughed, to her, the idea was ludicrous. It was just ridiculous. She couldn't see how her old body, she was looking at the external, looking at the outside, and she just could not, you know, understand and comprehend how this body would not only conceive, but carry a baby and birth a baby. She couldn't see it. And like I said, maybe that is your situation right now. You're looking externally. You're looking at the situation with natural eyes instead of divine eyes, instead of your spiritual eyes. And you just can't fathom how you can be in debt right now. And God is going to, you know, work on your behalf, not only to take you out of that debt, but to prosper you. It's difficult for you to see how that marriage, your marriage right now, is not in good shape. And it looks like it's been dealt a death knock. You know, and you think this is the end of my marriage, and it's difficult for you to see. How can life come back to this marriage? Life can come back by the Ruach HaKodesh breath of God. The same breath of God, Ruach HaKodesh means Holy Spirit. The same breath of God that breathed life into this world, that created something out of nothing, is the same Ruach HaKodesh that can breathe life into a marriage that looks like it's dead, into a relationship that looks like it's dead. And that's my prayer for you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so Sarah was laughing. She just could not fathom. She just could not comprehend. She could not understand how she was going to deliver a son, this son of promise. How was she going to do that with her body limitations? Not only her body limitations, but the body limitations of her own husband, Abraham, who at this stage, at this point, was also 100 years and she was 90 years old. And because she could not understand it, we know the whole story. If we read that whole account, you know, in Genesis, we find out that Sarah, still operating in disbelief, then decided that, you know what, I'm going to try and see if I can help God, because I just don't see how this is going to work. Looking at my body, I just don't see biologically how this is going to happen. And of course, we know the story that Sarah, instead of waiting upon God's promise, now went and, you know, did some of her own arrangements, looked at her own servant, girl, her maid, who was helping her, her house help, Hagar, who we know was an Egyptian maid. She decided, okay, this is how we're going to work this. Let me go to somebody who looks like she can deliver this. She can have this baby because her body is young. Her body looks like it has potential over my body. And I think this is how we're going to have this child. And of course, we know the story that through Hagar, she presented Hagar to her husband, Abraham, to lie with Hagar and conceive a child with Hagar. And we know that that child was conceived and birthed, child who was named Ishmael. And we also know from history that that child, Ishmael, is the father through which the Islamic faith came through, that child, Ishmael. And it's part of the important story around that is that, you know, you sometimes we don't know that when we divert from God's plan and God's strategy, it can have implications for the coming generation. So Ishmael is now the father of the Islamic faith. And we now need to know and understand that the son of promise, actually the son of promise, was the son that God himself had promised to Abraham and also to his daughter, Sarah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're still talking about the importance of actually listening to God and following his intentions. Let us learn to listen to God. Let us not start to put in our own good intentions and say, no, listen, this thing is delaying, or this thing is taking too long. Just apply Isaiah 40:31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, you know, you're not going to faint. If you wait upon God in prayer, if you wait upon God in worship, if you wait upon God, meditating upon him, upon his promise, upon his prophetic word, God will ensure that that promise comes to pass. So let's not be impatient. Let's not try to help God in a way that he has not told us to, but let's make sure that we line up with his will. We know also that ultimately Isaac was born. God fulfilled his promise concerning Abraham, concerning Sarah. He said, I will give you a son of promise, and that child was born. And so I want to encourage us, let's not try and move into a place of good intentions, but let's move and walk in a place of God intentions. Let it be God. Let it be God who directs us. Let us wait upon God. Even when it looks like that promise is taking ages, it's taking so long, remain in faith, remain in prayer, remain in patience, and don't allow the enemy to take you out where you now start getting anxious, you start getting stressed, you start thinking this is not going to happen, and you get out of God intention and you now move in good intention. And that good intention may ultimately work against the plan of God. So I want to encourage us, in that way. The second example I want us to look at is actually the example of Uzzah. Uzzah. Now, Uzzah is also another account in the Bible that we read about Uzzah, and we know the story of Uzzah as well. Uzzah is not to be confused with Uzziah, who was the first husband of Bathsheba. Bathsheba, of course, we know, became the wife of King David, but her first husband was Uzziah, and he was a soldier, a general in the army, and we know the account of Uzziah, who actually served under King David. And that's a story for another time. But Uzzah is another account that we need to find out and read about also. And, you know, the Bible tells us about a time when the Ark of the Lord was being moved. And the Ark of the Lord was an extremely, the Ark of God was an extremely holy object. In terms of the Ark, it represented the presence of God. And, you know, I encourage you just to read Exodus 25, verses 21 and 22 to get an understanding of what the Ark of the Lord represented in terms of holiness, in terms of representing His presence. The Ark of the Lord was to be handled with the utmost regard in terms of the laws of Moses at that time, strict regulation. It spoke of how holy things that were entrusted to the Levitical sons of Kohath. And you can read that also from Numbers 3, 29 to 31. So there was a way in which the Ark of the Lord was supposed to be handled with care. It was entrusted to be handled by the priests, the Levites, the Levitical sons of Kohath. And even they were supposed to handle the Ark of the Lord in a certain way. They were not supposed to touch the holy articles, lest they die. And you know, we can read about that also in Numbers 4, 15, verse 15. Numbers 4, also verse 20. So the Levites, the Levitical sons of Kohath, the Kohathites were instructed to carry the Ark of the Lord on their shoulders by the poles. So this Ark of the Lord, they were supposed to carry the Ark, not, you know, themselves flesh to flesh, but it was supposed to be put on poles. And those poles were supposed to be passed through rings on the corners of the arks. And that is so that they wouldn't touch the ark themselves. They wouldn't touch the ark themselves. And this ark was not supposed to be transported just anyhow, just any way. But it was supposed to have been carried by the priests, the Levitical sons of Kohath, and carried in a certain manner. And so when we read the story about the ark, and we read the whole account there, we find out that there's a point where the Ark of the Lord was actually put on a cart. Put on a cart. And in the course of being put in a cart, the Ark of the Lord stumbled. And as it stumbled, the Bible now tells us the story of Uzzah, who reached out to, in an attempt to steady the Ark of the Lord, because there was a stumbling. And as he steadied, he reached out to steady and touch the Ark of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was struck dead. He was struck dead, and he was struck dead for touching the Ark, And here again, I want to emphasize that same principle that we're talking about today. Because, you know, like David, the Bible tells us, if you read that whole account, the Bible says that David was actually upset. He was very upset. He was angry. He wanted to know that, you know, what's going on? Because what Uzzah did and what Uzzah intended was good. It was a good intention. He saw that the Ark of the Lord was stumbling. He was trying to prevent it from falling. It was a good intention. It wasn't with a bad intention. However, the intention was a good intention. It was not a God intention. And again, that's why we must be very careful. God had strictly laid out, you know, the policy, the protocol around how this ark was supposed to be carried. And like we said, it was supposed to be carried in a certain way. It was supposed to be carried by certain people who were authorized to carry this ark. And even those people, in terms of their being authorized, they were not allowed to handle it in any way. They were to carry it on their shoulders. They were to carry it with poles. They were to carry it with poles that went through rings through the corners of the ark. So there were specific instructions around how to carry this ark. Specifications around how to carry this ark.
And those instructions were actually disobeyed. They were disobeyed. And so again, I want to remind us to say that, listen, beloveds, there are so many things that we do, The Bible and God
is... Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Oh, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network with our corporate producer Kayla Paget. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, all the way from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time. We are bringing you Empowered for Destiny 21. We open up by saying Happy New Year to everybody. We thank God who has made us to cross over into the year 2021. Oh, what a ride it has been in 2020. The enemy of your soul did not want you to enjoy, did not want you to finish 2020. But God, in his faithfulness, he has made us to cross over. So, yeah. Happy 2021 to everybody. Let's get ourselves ready right now as we start off by giving the word of God. Now that is on the very 1st of January 2021. I was asking and I was praying to the Lord, what should I share with God's people in this time and in this season? And I sense that the Lord wanted me to share with you something right now that I am... I'm going to pick up from a biblical narrative that we all are familiar with, most of us. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And I want to use a very cheeky title, Get Over It. Get Over It. Now that we have started another season, another year, another moment, you are being given a great opportunity for you to start all over again. Regardless of many failures, issues, challenges, problems that you encountered in the previous year, the truth is you are offered a clean slate to start all over again and to see the hand of God starting all over again with you. So I want to begin by saying to us, chapter 5 of the book of John, from verse 1, the story is about a Jewish Passover feast, meant and designed to be attended by every Jewish person and other Gentile nations that were coming, traveling from near and far. John, who is the writer to the book of this narrative, he starts by telling us, being the times of the feast of the Passover, Jesus Christ is invited. Arriving in Jerusalem, he immediately makes us aware the place is Bethesda, which is a synthesis of two words. The pre-word is a Hebraic word, and the word is Beth, which means house of Bethesda. In his definitions, he wants us also to understand at the place called Bethesda, there was a sheep gate. Along the sheep gate, there is a pool with the five colonnades or five porches supported by five pillars. John wants us to understand that. In Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ is invited, one of the pivotal feasts, there is a sheep gate. When you enter in the sheep gate, there is a pool. The pool is covered by five porches, supported by five pillars. John wants us to understand that there is a sheep gate. And automatically, metaphorically, we begin to understand that Jesus is the gateway that John is talking about, metaphorically. At the sheep gate, leading us to the pool, which talks to you and I about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are five colonnades, which is to do with the grace of God. So you have got Bethesda, which now means the house of grace, supported by five pillars. That speaks about the fivefold ministry: the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, and the evangelists. In Bethesda, there is a pool, a place called Grace, filled with the people with ungraceful conditions. John wants us also to understand, you have at Bethesda a different groups of people represented here. All are sick at Bethesda. That makes the church a platform that houses different conditions, different sicknesses. The Bible says, in this place, group number one, the blind, which are categorized by people who have no vision, people that are visionless, people that have no sense of direction, people that have no purpose. The blind. Do yourself a favor at the beginning of this year and ask yourself some critical and pivotal questions. What is your vision? On a personal level, what is your vision? As we trek together in the year 2021. What are you aiming at? In terms of your school, in terms of your job, in terms of your career, in terms of what God has planned for your life. What is your vision? Ladies and gentlemen, at this pool were also the lame. Picture of people whose lives is not quite there yet. You are there, not satisfied. You are there, not fulfilled. You are there, you are not content. You are there, but you are not living the best life designed for you. You have all your members, your faculties, but there, but not there. Third group, you have the paralyzed, whose All faculties are dysfunctional. They're represented. Time is passing by. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. They are going anywhere. Everything in their life seems to be at a standstill. Everything surrounding them seems to be not going anywhere. Paralyzed. But Jesus, his attention to the life of a gentleman who has no name, who has been in that place 38 years, 3 decades. 38 long years. Now, I love the fact that our gentleman in the story, he was at the right place. That's important to me. Vision fulfillment is determined by not just who you are. I think the quality and the course of your life is also determined by where you are. The place, they call this the law of the place or the law of the environment. You see it in the book of Genesis, in this Elohistic nature, that God started by creating places in 5 days. He creates places. The firmament for the birds of the air, the skies for the stars, the sun, the moon, and the galaxy. The vegetation, greenery for the plant life and all the animal kingdom. The rivers, oceans, and seas for all the fisheries that you know, all the types of fish. Watch the law of the place. It's not enough the cost and the quality of your life in 2021. It is not just incumbent over the fact that you know who you are, but also has to do with where you are. 2021. Where are you? 2021. The place you find yourself will determine your vision fulfillment, the purpose you want to be fulfilled in your life to be fulfilled. Where are you? The man in my text, I love the fact that he was at the right place. But I love also the fact that him being at the right place gave him the leverage to see what God was doing in other people's lives, to motivate, build up faith, strength, and determination for him to have been there for 38 years. The law of the place. What goes on now makes us want to think a lot of questions, makes us to think a lot, because it says Jesus then asked this man, seeing that the man had been there for 38 years, John 5, from verse 5 to 8. Seeing that he had been there for 38 years, he asks him a question, and the question is simple. The question is, what would you like me to do for you? Or will you be made call. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me this is a very rhetorical question. Why Jesus would ask this man who has been there in that condition for such a long time, asking him such a question that is obvious? Will you be made whole? There are few things there that I believe we can learn as we start off 2021. It is a question that requires an answer. But it is a question that I believe Jesus is asking, and Jesus knows the answer to the question. But if Jesus knows the answer to the question and the man that is being questioned does not know the answer, we're going to have a problem. Because I am learning few things in this text that my healing is determined by my preparedness to say to the Lord, I am willing. Watch, 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 watch. Will you be made whole? That calls for his willingness. The guy could have said, no, I don't. No, I'm okay. This has been going on for a very long time. This has been going on for such a very, very, I'm comfortable. I've reached a place of comfortability with my situation and my condition. No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. This man could have said that. This man could have said, stop troubling me. Go to others. Why I am saying this, it is because there are few hurdles this man had to overcome to get his miracle. By the way, when Jesus asked that question, will you be made whole? We know the answer. The man answered back, yes, I will. Immediately, Jesus told him to take up his mat, rise up, and he went home. To you out there, I do not know how long your problem would have been. I do not know what you have been encountering, what you're going through. I do not know what people have said about it, what the doctors have said about it, what hospitals have said about it. But there's one thing that I'm clear about. I am clear about the fact that you can be made whole. But that is not hung upon God's willingness. It's hung upon your willingness. Seems to me, goes beyond faith. Jesus is not struggling with this man to do with his faith, where his faith was. It seems to me Jesus is asking this question more to do with how discouraged, how disappointed, how hopeless have you found yourself to be? Can you still believe? Do you believe it is possible for me to make you whole? This question, will you be made whole? Remains the question for the year, remains the question for the months, remains the question for the 364 days ahead of you. Will you be made whole? I find it interesting that the man starts by giving up first excuses. And we all have them. His excuse was, I have no man. No one has been there for me. No one is there to push me to get my healing. The character is designed by the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us something very important and crucial, critical for our life. Jesus' question, will you be made whole? It needs your will. It needs your will. 2021 requires somebody to rise up out of apathy, complacency, comfort of coping skills that we have find ourselves to be comfortable in. Whether those coping skills would have been drugs, alcohol, friends, women, men, addictive substances, whatever it is a question that requires an answer. Not for God, but for you. How willing are you to be set free? How willing are you to see God move on your behalf with this drug issue? How willing are you to find yourself being set free from this life of abuse, trauma, and attack? How willing? The willingness is not dependent upon God's willingness alone. Because Jesus says, will you be made whole? In other words, Jesus is saying, I am willing. But if God is willing and you are not willing, that won't cut it. If God, on his end of sight, has got the preferred life for this man to rise up and go home and provide for his family and be there for his daughters, be there for his son, this man will have to answer that critical question. Yes, I will. And that's what I'm after. Yes, I will. That positioning of his mindset will lead him to get his breakthrough as he begins to trust God. The question at hand requires answers. And we see three hurdles that this man had to overcome. The discouragement over disappointment is the first thing which was a hurdle this man had to overcome. The discouragement over disappointment. Disappointment for not having had his miracle for 38 years. Disappointment of having seen others come and go, getting their miracles and him remaining stuck. Disappointment of all beyond proportion. That's the first hurdle he had to overcome. Number two, this man had to overcome what I call the absence of assistance. He had to overcome that. There was no man. Yes, you are right. Sometimes it's important for you to know that the people that we put our faith and our trust in, they won't come for us. The people that we lean on, that we depend upon, authority figures, that were supposed to be there. Yes, I know. Yes, they were supposed to have cared enough. They were supposed to have been careful enough. They were supposed to be there. But sometimes even the authority figures in our lives, they drop us. And all we are left with will be the dreads of paralysis, paralyzed minds and paralyzed emotions and paralyzed mental faculties. Ladies and gentlemen, he had to overcome the hurdle of the absence of assistance. But number three, as I pray, he had to overcome the hurdle of missed moments. Moments you could have wished was supposed to have taken his daughter to school, taken his son to a game, taken his children to different activities and recreational activities, held the arm of his wife on a romantic dinner. He is stuck in one place for 38 years. But Jesus is designing to tell us in this story that if this man is going to be set free, it is determined by his willingness to say, yes, I am ready to be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Shimi Koti Ministries Radio Network International with our co-producer Kela Paget bringing you once again Empowered for Destiny, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Happy New Year to everyone. And may we journey this year with that understanding. Missed moments, disappointment, absence of assistance, those hurdles should not become barricades to stop you from what God wants to do in your life. Will you? This guy teaches us a lesson, the power of being there. Sometimes for years, and God is not coming through for me. God is doing it for others, and I'm left behind. May God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend. And catch you once again on our radio station, Empowered for Destiny, with Josh Moyo Ministries Network. Thank you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.